The Sporting Dog Adventures podcast is proudly brought to you by Saki Acres Retrievers. Whether you're looking for a black, yellow, or chocolate Labrador Retriever puppy, please check out our website for more information at www.sakiacres.com. You can also email Jeff at sportingdogtv@gmail.com or call 262-215-9683. And remember, everyone deserves a Saki dog. Hey, welcome to the Hunt Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Fuller of Saki Acres Retrievers. And today we're going to have a great show. We're going to talk about the Wyoming elk hunt that I went on. And in our tip section, we're going to talk about the importance of having hiking socks. And in the last part, the importance of being in shape when you go on your hunt for the hunting tip. But first, let us talk about the Wyoming elk hunt that my son Clayton and I went on. It was phenomenal. We both got animals. Neither were huge, but honestly, being a guy that lives in Wisconsin where we just had elk reintroduced and the chances of getting to hunt them are very slim, going out west is a treat for me. And honestly, getting any legal bull or even a cow to me is it's just cool. They're such a different animal from whitetail. It's such a different hunt from hunting from a stand when you're in the mountains. And the scenery, my goodness, you cannot beat that. We hunted in a zone that was right out of Teton and Yellowstone, and it was just gorgeous. We got out there, stayed just outside of Jackson. We went and hiked, so we got under the middle Teton Peak. I don't remember what it was called, but we took a hike. We got ourselves acclimated, and then we went to camp. And we had a total of five guys in our group. We met the other three guys when we were out there. And it was just, it was a neat hunt. So we start out on our first day, and Clayton and I had to get up at 3. We had breakfast at 3:30. We're in the truck at 3:45. We're driving to where we're going to hunt. It was about, probably a 20-minute drive. Got our horses saddled up, ready to go. And we were off, I would say, probably by 4:15, 4:30, probably 4:30. Riding on our horses, went 8 miles. So went back 2 full hours on horseback. And I had a very large draft type horse, and my hips went nuts as far as my hip flexors. I'm going to try the hunt again. I'm going to have a bunch of different exercises and stretching I'm going to do to try to prepare myself for being in the saddle that long. But this wide horse, her name was Jackie, she was quite large, had feet around, they're bigger, about that big. If you can picture my head, that was her hoof. Very sure fitted, actually smooth walking, but just my legs were at an angle where it just irritated something. And I went into complete muscle spasms. So we get to where we're going, which was, we went over a mountain. We've had some meadows. We were gonna bugle, do some location bugles, see what was in the area. We went up, we bugled, didn't hear anything. We walked to a different area, we bugled, and boom, we heard multiple bulls. Now, if you haven't hunted elk and you've hunted deer from a stand or even elk from a stand, you can do your stalk and hunt when they're bugling, especially where you can go down and try to get in close to them and then set yourself up, which is ultimately what we did. We had at least 2 herd bulls that were in the area. And then we had a couple of satellite bulls that we could hear. We got ourselves into an area where it was advantageous for us as far as being able to see, but it was morning. And when you're in the mountains in the morning, the thermals go down. So your scent was being drugged down. We had a bugle. Then we saw a couple of cows that were coming up our small meadow we were in. And then they went back down the hill because ultimately they knew that something was up. I think they could smell us. So we started hiking again to try to get around and on top of the elk because they hadn't moved. They were still down there. And while we were, I remember telling my son Clayton, make sure that your gun has your scope is on the lowest setting because it was tight where we were. It was brushy and the metals weren't large. So I wanted to make sure that if we had a close encounter, that he didn't have a scope on 12 or 20. He actually had it on 12. And I also told him to stick with the guide because we had made the decision that Clayton was going to shoot the first day if we saw one. It was his hunt. I was going to be the backup guy slash if there was another bull, take that bull. So as we're doing this, if you can imagine, you're hiking at a fast pace. We're at like probably 9,500 feet, 9,000 feet. You're getting winded. You're hiking along. We came up this rocky face and it benched and we were just down here. And then it was rocky around to the right. The elk herd, the elk bugled on the other side of that that hill. The guide was set up with Clayton, had him on a stick. They're pointing uphill because that's where the flat area is. It's where the elk should come. They're waiting, waiting. I actually was behind a pine tree. Then I'm like, man, this is awesome. I can see straight up right where they're going to shoot. It's going to be like watching an awesome hunting video. And then I see both Clayton and the guide look to their right. Now, again, they're pointed uphill. They look to their right, and I hear the guide say, don't move. So I now am at the point where I'm behind the tree, about 5 feet behind them. I actually aimed downhill because I'm like, you know, if something sees them or runs downhill, they're not going to be able to shoot it. So I got myself prepared so that, one, if they shot, I could be the backup, but two, so that if there was a nice animal, I could take it. And we sat there, and you could hear a rock every once in a while where the animal moved. I didn't even know how close it was. Then at a point, I hear Clayton click the safety off. Then they don't move. They're both staring to the right. Luckily, they're in the shadow. They weren't out in the sun. At that point, I saw Clayton turn, put the gun, level the gun, shoot, and then just elation from Clayton and the guide. Again, I'm behind a pine tree. I don't know where the animal is. I don't know how big it is. I don't know what it is. I'm like ready, like, okay. And I look and I'm like, is it down? They're like, yeah, it's down. It's a nice bull. So ultimately we go over, it's a small 6x6. It is actually the picture that is on the episode, on this episode for the cover photo. And I find out that, you know, here I'd been having Clayton practice up to 300 yards. We had decided that he'd probably shoot up to 200 yards because he was good at 200 yards, but I didn't want to put too much pressure on him and put him in a situation where he would make a bad shot. The elk came in around this little knob we were on, and it was at 20 yards, and it was staring at him the whole time. And then the elk turned broadside, still looking at him. And when Clayton actually shot, the elk turned and looked directly away from them down the hill. Made a great shot. The animal never took a step, and he was happier than happy. So that was day one. We got a bull down about an hour into the hunt. We had to quarter it. We had to clean it up. We had to put the meat in the meat bags. We had horses and a mule. We loaded the mule, loaded the guide's horse, and then we had to head out. I actually stopped about halfway out because my hip flexors were just killing me. I decided I'd walk down the mountain. Worst part was I was still a little ways up and we were at about 10,000 feet. So that was tough. I had to stop every so far because it's pretty brutal on you when you have to walk at that height and you're not used to it. But I got myself out. We got the animal out and it turned out to be a small 6x6 and it was a fun hunt. I mean, Clayton, I looked at him and I'm like, pretty cool, huh? He's like, that's the neatest hunt I've ever been on, Dad. We actually told the guy that we were rebooking. It's a 5-year wait, so you have to have points. We were told him we're rebooking for 2027 right on the spot. So it was neat. We ended up going back in the same area the next day. I actually passed on a raghorn 4x4, which is it's more of a straight up horn. It's kind of, they call it raghorn because it's not a beautiful elk looking type of a rack. I was like, you know, I want to get something bigger. I really wanted to get a 6x6 that I could do a nice head mount on. Ultimately passed the next day. We went into a different area where we heard some bugles. And by the end of that day, I was really upset with myself for having passed on that 4x4, just because, again, it's not a hunt I get to do often. And we only had 5 days. I kind of hit the point where I'm like, you know, how greedy am I being? I should have taken the animal that was put in front of me and just enjoyed that part of the hunt. But at the same time, you hold out hope. So that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we hunted in an area. We did not see anything. We heard some, but they were pretty pressured. So we actually were trying to play catch up to these animals the whole time. Thursday, we went into an area. We were hiking, or we're not hiking. We were riding horseback. We got to a spot. We were changing our clothes out because it started to rain. And then we started to hike in, and we were going to side hill along and go up a ridge to get to the top of the mountain. And as we were, there was a good bull up there. And he's pointed downhill. We called at him a little bit. He didn't seem too interested. So we started with the chase where you're trying to side hill around to cut him off to get a shot. Ultimately, wow, was I gassed on that one. We were hiking and hiking fast, and we got around. We never did see the animal where he came down. Like anything, mountains aren't just flat, straight hills. There's a bunch of finger ridges, pockets of trees. We came around the corner, and he had so many options, and he just didn't take our option. He never saw us. It wasn't that. We ended up trying to catch up to him as he was going downhill. He gave us one courtesy bugle at a point. That was about it. Never got to lay eyes on him other than when he was at about 800 yards. It was a good bull. It was a good solid 6x6, but it just wasn't meant to be. Now I'm getting really down because I passed on that one, and it's Thursday evening, and we had a bunch of rain coming in, and we had a storm coming in. So I'm looking at Friday going, Friday's going to be awesome. It's going to be about 30 degrees colder. Our temps were about 70s in the afternoons. It was supposed to be a high of about 45 with a low in the 20s as Scarlett's biting me and having her fun. And it was where I'm like, you know what? We'll go out tonight. Maybe we'll see something, but tomorrow's the day. It's our last day. We're going back, and where Clayton got his in this big country. It's going to be cold. We're going to be able to hunt most of the day. The animals will be moving most of the day because it's not warm. And it was, I was excited. I was excited for Friday. So as we're going out Thursday, we go into an area, and it was an area that was hunted more. We actually passed some hunters that came out, and they told us that the elk were bugling. We're kind of like, geez, with it getting toward nightfall, why are you coming out? But there was rain coming. As we're going up the mountain on our horses, it starts a steady rain. We've got our rain gear, not a big deal. We're going up in the rain. And then we went around to an area that was a meadow, but we skipped through like three meadows where most people probably had hunted already, went to one that was on the backside of this ridge. And we got set up, we started to cow call, and right away we heard a crash down in the timber. If you haven't gone elk hunting, when you are hiking, it's not a big deal if you make noise, because elk are incredibly noisy as they're walking in mountains. They make noise. We heard a crash again. Then I'm sitting on the ridge. I'm looking over, and I'm like, gosh, that tree looks really weird. And then the tree moved. I got myself up on my shooting stick. I'm waiting. I'm looking. It's a cow. I'm waiting. And I'm like, the rut is still on. This animal is going to walk out right behind the cow. I've got probably 125-yard shot. It's going to be fine. We're going to get them. It's going to be great. And the cow's alone. So then she walked back in the woods. And then down below us, there were some aspen trees. And I heard the guide whisper. He's like, there's a bull down there. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm cow big. He's like, it's a spike. I'm like, okay, well, you can't shoot a spike. It's got to be a forked horn on a bull. So have to have at least 2 points. And then he said, nope, it's way bigger than a spike. I could see his horns. So this bull is walking along the bottom of this open area with aspens. And I'm like, man, he's going to be at 50 yards when he pops out. And then he walked into the woods. I had one lane, literally one lane that went in about 200 yards where I could shoot. And the guide says, I can see him going. I'm going to cow call and stop him right in that opening. Now we went from 50 yards to about 125 yards. It was a haul. Not that bad, but still, oh. Compared to 50 yards, it was a lot longer. My shooting stick is on my left. I'm sitting on my butt. So I actually sat with my knees up and rested my gun on my knees, or my elbows on my knees with my gun. Stopped the bull in the opening, got myself a good shot, took the shot, boom, dropped him right there. It was a 5x5, not my smallest 5x5 to date, but still a 5x5. I was more than happy. Prior to this hunt, my son Clayton had said, you know, Dad, we've got to take Cole's ashes. I carried my son Cole, who passed away, carry his ashes with me, during hunting season. He's like, we didn't use, your necklace for my picture. So you have to get one. I'm like, yeah, great. No pressure. Thanks, buddy. We ended up, we got out, took our pictures. It was 5:30 when I dropped the animal. By just about dark, we had him quartered up and we were headed out. I did hear a large crash when we were getting ready to go. We were in grizzly country, so it was kind of a, yeah, we got to get out here and get out of here now. Got my animal out, could not be more happy. Still had one day to hunt, but we had to take care of the meat, get everything ready for the ride home. So we ended up taking the meat over to the butcher, getting that stuff set, went into town, got the girls some presents. Clayton's girlfriend and my wife, Kate, both got them a gift because, hey, they are nice enough to let us go and chase these beautiful creatures. And then the next day we headed home. We both ended up with, let's see, Clayton's quarters were in meat. It was 231 pounds. Mine was 234 pounds. Clayton's had bigger horns. Mine had 3 pounds more meat. Yes. But I guess we always go by horns. But either way, what a fun hunt. If you guys ever want to go on a hunt of a lifetime, in my opinion, go on an elk hunt. Go on one also where you're doing the stalking, where you're hiking. If it's early enough, get those bugles. It is something you will never be disappointed in because you are just in God's country when you're out there in the mountains. I'm jealous of people that live out there and get to do it all the time. I get to go. This was my 7th elk hunt. I've been fortunate enough now to take 4 bulls, but I have been, I'm jealous of the people that get to do this all the time. But either way, find yourself a great place to go elk hunting and you will not be disappointed. Next up, in our gear tip, we're going to talk about the importance of hiking socks. And then after that, we're going to talk about why you have to be in shape. All that and more coming up after this. If you love the shooting sports like I do, you need to check out our friends at Mech Outdoors. They have fantastic products, whether you're looking at shot shell or metallic reloading, or you want to get yourself a clay thrower so you can practice up for the season. For more information, check out their website at mechoutdoors.com.
Dog kennels can be beautiful. That's the basis on which we built Hunden. We give you the opportunity to have a beautiful kennel that blends seamlessly with your home decor while providing a safe and comfortable respite for your dog. Visit Hunden.com to see all our custom selections and start building your dream custom doggy crate Denza.
Hey, welcome back to the show. So, when you are going out hiking, you want to make sure that you have hiking socks. When you're going out, when you're in the mountains, you definitely want to make sure you have hiking socks because of the fact that you can get blisters. If your feet get blisters and you don't have your feet under you, you are done. You are going to be in so much pain. For Clayton's birthday, I bought him a pair of boots and I bought him a pair of hiking socks or multiple pairs of hiking socks. He did not pack them. So we went on a hike a couple days before we were going to our elk camp just to get ourselves in shape, get up in altitude, hike around. We wore our packs. We had a lot of weight and we wanted to make sure that we were ready for the hunt. As we're walking, he said he needed to tighten up his shoes or his boots. And I told him, aren't you wearing the hiking socks? I saw the white socks, white cotton socks sticking out. He's like, no. He's like, I don't know. I think I forgot them at home. Okay, one. Dude, I bought you 5 pairs of hiking socks. It was for the hunt. That was what your gift was. Two, he said the back of his heels were feeling hot. He was getting blisters. Long story short, we went out after our hike and he definitely had heel blisters. We had to take a two-hour run to town. We bought him some hiking socks. We also bought him some moleskin and some tape for his feet. Funny thing is he used moleskin, but the best thing we had for our feet, because I had a spot that started to blister a little bit on the side of my foot, we used black electrical tape. We put tape it right over and it kept the blister in so that it didn't pop out and tear, and it also stopped it from forming on my foot. So black electrical tape and moleskin is the key to having happy feet if you do get blisters. But have hiking socks. Remember to take them with you on the hike on a hunt, and you will thank me because you do not want your feet to end up where they're like my son's were and where they're headed. So next up, I want to talk about the importance of being in shape on your hunt. All that and more coming up after this.
Welcome to Boucher in Janesville, where customer service is our number one priority.
Our customers come back to us because of the experience that we provide for them.
We're here to make sure that we find you the right car, one that fits your budget, and do so in a timely manner.
When we say we ride with you every mile, it means we care about you and how you are treated.
Estamos con personal que habla español en los departamentos de servicio y venta.
Our certified technicians are here to help you with all your service needs.
Visit us today at Boucher.com.
At Boucher, we ride with you every mile.
Hey, welcome back to the show. So, being in shape for your hunt. We had a crazy year this year. We are almost to the process of having our house in Delavan, Wisconsin sold, where we ran our business, Psyche Acres Retrievers. We've got a hunting property that we're selling as well because we bought our new property that we live in Janesville, Wisconsin. And I spent the majority of my summer and early fall either moving, packing stuff to move, working on stuff to get things ready to move, working on the properties to get them so that they were in good shape. But I did not get to work out as much as I wanted to. I also didn't realize the pain horses would put me in. I've had a lot of surgeries on my body. Wow, was I in pain there. So next time I will be in better shape. I will also stretch and I'm going to do some exercises that will help my hip flexors and my groin muscles and all of my upper legs for riding so that I can have a better hunt. It really sucks when you're in pain on your hunt. And it sucks when there was the one time where I was chasing that bull where we were really hiking hard and I had to stop several times. Who knows if I could have crested that hill. I may have gotten myself a big 6x6. I don't think it would have happened, but it didn't happen because I never did see it. So I had to keep up with the guide. Our guide was like a billy goat. He could run all day long. Did the best I could. I felt I was in pretty good shape. But next time, I will be 5 years older. So I'll be pushing 55 years old. I am going to have to make sure I am in prime shape for that hunt. There's a lot that goes to it. There's a lot of preparation. The number one preparation is getting your mind and body sound so that when you're out there, you can still perform and you can enjoy your hunt. So that is our tip for our big game this year. We are going to definitely be on next week. We're going to start talking about whitetail hunting. We've got a new property. The rut is on. We'll talk about that next week. And if you haven't, also please listen to our other podcast, the Sporting Dog Adventures podcast. We will have a great episode on there about dogs. We have one every week. So I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast. Take care and God bless.